By the way, if you can't hear me at some time, let me know. My voice might be failing, but he's got a volume button. So we can just keep cranking up till we finally get it. This is one of those disgusting proverbs that shouldn't be read in church. Proverbs 26, if I can find it anyway. A lot of people don't know why they put these kind of verses in the Bible, and they think God should use more refined terms. 26 verse 11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. There's another place where it talks about that a pig returns to its waller. I know that word doesn't have an R in it, but my mom always said it with an R. Waller. And I hate to tell you, but there's a lot of those types of people in the churches that are professed Christians. Now, let me tell you how this all started. Yesterday, I was at Walmart before I came here. I had some errands I was trying to get finished. I hate decorating stuff after the first of the year. It kind of loses its appeal, and nobody really notices it, you know, that you put your decorations out. So I was getting some stuff ready that I needed to get finished. I was at Walmart, looked at my cell phone, and there was this number on there that I had a missed call, and I didn't know the number. Excuse me. I did not know that number. So after a while, I was kind of, let's just find out who it is. So I hit the button. The guy says, hello? I said, hello, what can I do for you? Your number's on my phone. He said, I'm just repeating what's said. He said, I'm looking for a young girl. And I said, well, you didn't find one now, did you? He goes, no, but I'm looking for one between 20 and 30. And I said, well, you're just out of luck here, bud. He said, well, I'm sorry I bothered you. And he hung up. And I hung up, and I went on about my way, did whatever I was doing. I thought, how odd. I got done with that. I was driving away from Walmart. My phone rang. There he was. I hit the button, and I said, what are you needing this time? He said, I'm looking for a young girl. And I said, yes, you looking for a young girl before. I don't know. And he goes, oh, I'm talking to the same guy that I was just talking to. And I said, yes. And then this is where Doyle's mouth starts off. And I said, sir, I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm not a pimp. I'm a pastor. And he said, you're a what? And I said, I'm a pastor, a preacher, a reverend, a minister, a guy that talks on Sunday morning. He goes, and I turned the corner, and I was pulling off the highway at that point, and I said, have you got something you need to talk about? Well, I guess I do. I said, I guess you do. What are you wanting to tell me? And he said, nobody wants to talk to me because I'm a drunk and I'm an alcoholic. And I thought, well, you stated the obvious. Now we know you're drunk and alcoholic. Why would anybody want to talk to you? He went on with his sob story about, you know, I don't know if you guys know, but after you've met a few, that all immediately starts with, I've got such a hard life, and if you only knew. And I said, I don't want to hear it. I was a little more tactful. And he kept going on. I said, you know what your problem is you need to get right with God. This is all paraphrase. He says, I know it. I was in prison, just got out. I was there a year and a half in the penitentiary. And I'm going, great. Now we got a drunken penitentiary guy on my telephone who... And I said, well, he goes, and I read the Bible the whole time. And I said, well, that's all right with me. And I don't care whether you're drunk or not. My question is do you want to stay in the position you're in? He said, no, I don't, sir. I want out of that. But I have tried and tried. And I said, well, it's time you quit trying. Now, if you want out, you repeat these words after me. If you mean them from your heart, you pray this prayer. We prayed together, and then I said, you know, I explained to him that Christ died for all his failures, for all his sins. Christ took the responsibility, and he needed to thank Jesus for what he did for him on the cross and how he took his place and how God forgave him of his sin and Jesus would deliver him from his sin. And he said it, and he goes, but you don't understand. And I kept saying, I don't care. You need to repeat this after me. Jesus has delivered me from my sin. He said, you know, I guess I really needed to talk to you because I was calling somebody else, and God has been dealing with me because I have been a Christian before and made professions of faith. And here, of all the numbers I end up calling a wrong number, I'm talking to a preacher. I said, well, I guess he did. And we kept talking. He says, but you don't understand. And I said, it doesn't matter whether I understand it. Repeat after me. Jesus Christ will deliver me from my alcoholism. He said it again. He goes, well, I've got these problems. I said, I don't care what your problems is. Repeat after me. God will deliver me from my alcoholism and all my other sins. He has forgiven me. He said, well, let me tell you, I was wanting to do this and this had happened, and it was today that I found out that I'll probably never see my daughter again. And I said, I don't care. Repeat after me. God will deliver me from my alcoholism. God will meet my needs. And we repeated it all again. He starts down that road. Drunks are so persistent. He started down that road again, and I said, what's your name? And he said, my name's Daryl. I said, Daryl, repeat this after me. So he does. We're talking a little bit longer, and I said, he cares about you, Daryl. He goes, no, I'm just a low, worthless nothing. Nobody cares about me. I'm not worth anything. And I said, Daryl, stop right there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came all the way down from heaven. He took your place on the cross and died your death, didn't he? Yes, he did. He went through all that for you, didn't he? Yes, he did. And today he made it so that you was talking to a pastor. That's me. And I think it's time you start listening to what this guy's trying to tell you. That's me. And you start paying attention. From now on, I don't care if you're drunk. I don't care if you're drinking a beer. I don't care what you're doing. But the rest of the time, from now on, start saying, Jesus will deliver me from my sin. Jesus will deliver me from my alcoholism. I said, and if you wake up drunk, you repeat that again. Every time you think of it, you say it again. And Daryl, today is Saturday. Get up and go to church. That's not going to save you. It's not going to make you right, but it's a good step in the right direction. He said, would you pray for me? And I said, yes, I will. And if you'll let me, I'll put you on the church bulletin. He said, would you? And I said, yes, I will. His name's Daryl Purim. P-U-R-A-M. Is that N or M? M as in mama? Yes. Daryl Purim. Might not ever see this guy again. Some people might know him because I know where he told me where he lived. I wouldn't tell him where I lived. He doesn't know my name. Well, you just don't want some guy to show up at your house. Jesus loves me because... Anyway, I also saw a t-shirt. And I liked the t-shirt. The saying on it was one of those that just Doyle says, I like poetry, long walks on the beach, and poking dead things with a stick. Yeah. Folks, there's a lot of Christians out there, and Daryl was a professing Christian. Where he stands with God, only God knows. But as the dog returns to his vomit, there's a lot of people who like to return to the bad things that happened in their past. And that is not where we're supposed to be. Let me read to you Jeremiah, if I've got it right, chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. Granted, this is God talking to the Israelites during the Old Testament time, but it is still applicable to us. It's very simple. It says, this thing commanded I, it's God speaking, commanded I to them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I commanded you, that it may be well with unto you. But ye hearkened not, nor inclined your ear, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward instead of forward. and went backward instead of forward. How many times we have had people come and make professions of Jesus Christ, and you explain to them about obeying the voice of the Lord, and what is required of us is what's in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 through 24. Beloved, in our heart, if our heart condemns us not, we are confident, we have confidence toward God. Whatsoever we ask, we shall receive, because we keep His commandments and do these things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment. It's always, and this. We are under a new specific testament, the New Testament, and this is the only commandment laid on us, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments, believing on the Son and loving one another, dwelleth in Him, and He in Him, and whereby we know that we abideth in He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. And yet, these are the only things that we're to do, the only things we're to believe, starting off as those two commandments, we're to narrow in on them, and yet we have those, and people keep returning back and poking the dead thing with the stick. They keep going back. He keeps going back to all the problems he had before he came to Jesus Christ. He said, the reason I got drunk today was because, and it had reference back to some stuff that had happened earlier in his life before he became a Christian. Why do we insist on returning back when God says, I have talked to you, you're to obey my voice, and you go backwards instead of forwards? Christians, we are not to go back. We are not to back up and continually be picking at, poking things that have happened in our life. Bad things, granted, bad things that could have happened to us personally, or bad things that we personally did to ourselves or to other people. We are not to do that. We are to put that stuff behind us. If we go to Hebrews chapter, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. This is very important, and we need to do what it tells us to do. Let me read to you verse 9, chapter 9, verse 9, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. He's talking about the Old Testament sacrificial system that was going on at the temple, that could not make him a sinner that did the service perfect as pertaining to conscience. And a proper translation is conscious awareness. It's consciousness. Chapter 10, verse 1 through 2. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices, we're catching back up with 9, those same sacrifices, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers whereunto perfect. Perfect means mature. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? That's a question. If this had worked, if it had accomplished what they had wanted it to, would they not have stopped making these offerings? Because the worshiper, once purged, should have no more consciousness of sin, or conscious of sin, or should not be aware of the sin. What he is actually saying is the Old Testament sacrifices of the lambs, the goats, the doves, the sheep, the heifers, everything that was offered, had this worked, the people would have walked away from it feeling guilt-free, knowing they were guilt-free. But he says year after year, they would continually come back to this point and have to re-sacrifice. But with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he made it one time. He sat down at the right hand of the Father from then on, never to make this sacrifice again. Never, ever, ever to make this sacrifice again. And according to this, if Christ's sacrifice is perfect, once purged, should never have no more consciousness of sins. You shouldn't be feeling guilty about anything that happened in your past after you've come to Jesus Christ and said, I would like you to forgive me of my sin. Quit going backwards and poking whatever is dark in your past with a stick. Quit feeling miserable about what you did or what has happened in your past. Say, it is behind me. I am moving on. Christians are continually to be facing forward. You notice that we're not built with eyes in the back of our heads. We are not really built to walk backwards. We're built to walk forward. And that's the way God wants us to walk, is continually forward. And in Jeremiah, he's jumping those people, for why are you turning around and going backward? Whenever you have done something or there's something in your past that's dark and it crops up in your mind, instead of dwelling on it, do what I kept telling Daryl. Say these things out loud. Jesus Christ has delivered me from my failures. Jesus Christ has delivered me from my past. Jesus Christ has put things in front of me that I am walking forward toward that are good. God only gives good and gracious gifts to His children. There are things in my future, in front of me that I am going toward, and I refuse to continually to dwell on things in my past. When they crop up, I'll tell you, I've got things at my house. Well, actually, I don't have things at my house. If there's something in my house that I look at and reminds me of something that's bad or depressing or sad, it's either boxed up if it's too valuable or too sentimental, or I give it to Penny, or I throw it away. There are things that some people would probably say, why did you do that? It bothers me. It takes me back to things that were not positive. One thing was this little Donald Duck flower thing, a flower pot. And this guy, I went to his funeral. There were six of us there. The undertaker, the preacher, the couple that took care of him. There's somebody. Anyway, might have been seven of us there. Maybe eight, because it was the guy who helped carry the... Isn't that sad? And he had family living within driving distance, and no one showed up. And the only reason I showed up is because he gave me this Donald Duck flower pot. And he said to me, when you see this, will you remember me and have a good thought about me? And every time I thought, I said, that is the most depressing thing that I can see, is because how could this man live his life? He was obnoxious. Let's just get that out front. He was obnoxious. How could that man live that life continually knowing, and finally he's trying to bribe somebody who was a stranger just a few years ago with a Donald Duck flower pot saying, remember me and think good thoughts of me. That's sad. Finally, after years of looking at it periodically, I had it kind of stuck back so I wouldn't see it. I said, that's it. No more. I don't dislike this guy. I talked to this guy on a regular basis. He was okay as far as I was concerned. Like I said, he was a little obnoxious once in a while, but that's just the way he was. It went with the territory. It didn't bother me that he was that way, but evidently it bothered him enough that he felt he had to bribe me, and I thought it was sad, so finally I got rid of it. There are things in your life that if it keeps prompting you, get rid of them, or at least pack them up and shove them someplace where you'll never see them again. Don't dwell on your past, whether it was your fault or not. God wants us to be a people who are always facing the future. Don't get me wrong, there are people who love their misery. I know someone else, let's just go into a lot of stories today. I know someone else that loved their misery so much because they used it to get attention. They asked me to deliver groceries. I said, sure, I'll be glad to deliver groceries. I delivered groceries all the time to them. Finally, they said, would you just quit knocking at the door? I know it's you, because they were wheelchair bound. And they had a big long house. And they would come up and they would, you can, I'm standing there at groceries. It was a long house. Finally, they'd open the door and say, come on in. Then I'd have to wait till they got out of the way so I could get in the house. And then I'd walk through the house. I'd put the groceries down. And she finally said, well, listen, that's just a long trip. Why don't you? It's just a long trip for me to make. From now on, I know you're coming. Would you just open the door and say, it's me, Doyle. I'll know you're here. and just bring it in. You know where it goes, and I'll meet you there. I said, sure, not a problem. About the third trip, I opened the door and I said, it's me. She was scurrying across the room, walking, trying to find her wheelchair. Because, by golly, she was wheelchair bound and had been for years. And I said, secret's safe with me. She loved her misery. And this is honest to goodness. She loved her misery so much when she finally did get sick, she wouldn't go to the doctor just so that she could say, I told you so. But when she finally went to the doctor, the doctor said, you've got 2 weeks to live. You waited too long. And she was like, what? What? And I'm like, lady, you've lived this scenario for years and years, and it's finally come back to roost. There are people who choose that kind of lifestyle. I'm sorry, but this is America, and God gave us free will as Christians. And as a people, we do what we really, really want to do. We go where we really, really want to go. We can change by the help of God what we really, really want to change. But a lot of times we talk a good line, but what we really want is a lot of sympathy. And this lady died trying to get sympathy. And it didn't work. Talked to the family later and they said, yeah, we knew how that's how she was. And we all got tired of it. Isn't that sad? But we are not to be those type of people that continually turn to our past. Let me tell you another story. As a pastor, or as a preacher, or as a church visitor, or as an active person who goes from church to church and has for years and years and years, and you get to know people in different denominations, different churches, all over the local area, and after a while they'll say, oh, have a seat. Let me tell you what happened in our church's past. And they will bring up issues that were settled 20 or 30 years ago, but once again, they are sticking it with, you know, the dead thing. They're sticking that dead issue there with a stick because they can't let it go. That's the dog returning to his vomit. There is the other one about the hog returning to its wallow. I said it right that time. A hog returning to its wallow, and you meet those same kind of people in the churches. I was associated with a church at one time when I was a kid, and this church was doing good, and I'd visited periodically, so I knew everybody, and everybody was... So, as the church was growing, and people were coming, and people were getting saved, it was great. It was awesome what was going on. This one person did not like it. It was out of control. Everything's out of control. We got to stop this. It's out of control. It was so out of control that he honestly called up an evangelist who was in the middle of revival and told him a flat-out lie that the pastor and the youth minister were having a homosexual affair. Finally, he brought it all to a halt. The church disintegrated down to a manageable level. This went on for years. Ran into the guy later at the church. We were talking. And he started waxing eloquent. I remember the golden years, the glory days of this church. And he named the pastor. He named the youth minister. He started naming people. And he says, and people was coming from everywhere around. This church was growing. It was a great day. Probably the best time this church ever had. A hog and a swallow. It created a messy situation, and yet now he viewed this as the glory days of the church, and there are people who look back at their church when something was going on, and they keep running back to that saying, oh, this was the greatest thing. Folks, there are great days in our future as a church, and I'm not just saying here too, but any place that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached to people who trust in him, there are great things promised to them if they only trust him to accomplish those great things in their personal life or in the life of their church. There are great, and if you want to put it on a personal level, quit going backwards. Quit going back. I had a kid that worked for me, came back years later. He's all bit of 25. I ran into him. I said, all hot and sweaty. He was, I wasn't. I don't do that kind of stuff. Not that I don't sweat, but I don't. He was playing basketball. And I said, what you been doing? Oh, I've been down to school. We've been playing basketball, shooting hoops, a little 3-on-3. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah, reliving the glory days. And I'm reliving the glory days. You're not even 25 yet. And you've already peaked out and you're going back to the school reliving your glory days. And I wanted to say, bud, when you was in school, you didn't like those days. How many people are continually looking back at their glory days? When I was growing up, this I told you today is stories. When I was growing up, I knew two guys. They weren't related, but they were best friends. As I got to know them and I grew up, I knew them better and better and better. They was old enough that they was graduating out of high school about the time I was becoming aware of what was going on in the world, like I was 7 to 8 years old. As time went by, tell the truth, they never amounted to a whole lot. They worked as just worked. But they were always reliving their glory days on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They'd buy cases of beer. They would set out under the tree, set out in the barn, set out in the shed, set out by the lake, stand out by the car, stand out by the truck. Didn't matter what they was doing. They was always drinking their beers and saying, do you remember? And talk about something that had happened in their past. And then 10 years later, they would be talking about something that had happened the 10 years before when they was leaning, talking about their glory days. And they said, if I'd only known now what I knew then 10 years ago, I would have really realized how good my life was 10 years ago. Oh, but those were good days. And I'm going, they were miserable days. I was there. You told me all about how bad they were, blah, blah, blah. And then they go down another 10 years and they'd be out there drinking their beers and they'd be talking about, if I'd only known now what I knew 10 years, whatever way that's supposed to work. Live in the present. Quit walking backwards through your life saying, oh, that was a good time, but this is a bad time. You go another 10, oh, that was a good time. I wish I would have known how good that was. Folks, you're living in a good time. I don't care what the stock market's doing. I don't care that there's swine flu around. It doesn't matter. Why? Because Jesus Christ is on the throne. He said, I love you. I care for you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. If you trust me, I will bless you time and time again. But there is one problem, and it's in the book of Romans, chapter 1, I believe, verse 21 and verse 22. We're going to take it right out of there. Verse 21, 22, 23, because that is talking about the Gentile sinners, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like a corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Now he's talking about non-Christians, non-believers here, and he says there was a time, or there is a time for those people who are not believing in Christ yet, that they have changed the glory of the incorruptible, absolutely creator, perfect being of the universe, and traded it down and started worshiping the things that he created. And you'll notice it goes down into descent. It goes to worshiping corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things and snakes and crawly things like that. Ugh, dung beetles and things. Yeah, Egyptians worship dung beetles. All this kind of stuff. And he's saying they appreciated and worshiped the creature more than the creator. And there are Christians out there going, what's going on? Now, this is a parallel. This is a Doyle Williams parallel. These people appreciated the creation more than the creator. As Christians, there are some of us, as Christians, who appreciate the blessings of God more than the blesser. We appreciate the blessings that he gives us more than the blessor. And when that happens, he says, wait a minute, you've grown up enough that you should be appreciating me. Not just because of what I do, but because of who I am. Appreciate me not for the fact that I'm giving you stuff, but for who I am, and be thankful to me. There are times in our lives where what we're wanting to do is get the blessing rather than get the blesser. You get the blesser on your side and all these blessings will just fall into line more than a bushel basket could hold. We are continually to be the people who are looking at this God who's not just the creator but the blesser of those people who trust in Him, and we're to be looking toward our future, walking in that direction, and anything that's behind us, leave it there. Leave it there. Don't think about it. And if it does crop up in your mind, say, I am looking forward to Jesus Christ because He's given me things to look forward to. It's a poor thing when people's lives, the greater part of their lives, is behind them than what's in front of them. They think the best part's already happened and they're not looking toward the future. That is sad, and that is not true in the case of a Christian. It is not true in your case. The greater things are always coming toward us. And a part of it is just a decision you have to make and say, I will trust. And you say, I don't have anything to look forward to. You have the greatest God on your side. Say to that great God, Sir, your Son died for me. I have a favor to ask of you. Favor is another word for grace. I have a favor to ask of you. I can't think of anything that I have to look forward to. Would you do me a favor and do something for me in the future so that I can look forward to it? I don't even have to know what it is, but when it happens, let me know. From that point on, because you ask God to do you a favor based upon your position in Jesus Christ, He does not lie. He said He will hear. He will do you a favor. Now you've got something to look forward to. I don't know what it is, but you can say, something's coming my way. Why? Because I asked God to surprise me with something. I asked God to do me a favor that makes my life worth looking forward to. And whenever that happens, say, do it again. God, do it again. Have you noticed you get a little kid and you throw them in there and they go, ah, do it again. Throw them, ah, do it again. Do it again. Well, that's the way God wants us to be because He calls us His little children. And when He does something that just totally thrills us, God, just do it again. I'm so excited. Just do it again. Just do it again and continually have something to look forward to in your life. It's a pity that so many Christians are saying, I've got to endure until the end. I'm just trying to grind it out till I finally make it through them pearly gates. Jesus Christ came to give us life and to give it more abundantly, and it started on the day that you called upon Him. Folks, you've got things to look forward to if you'll just say, God, what is it? Surprise me. I want to see it. Just tickle me pink.